This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stack some chips up. No fear of missing out. I'd rather dip and flip. What? Now pump it up and double up is what we hit. What? 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 This is it, what? Satoshi's pouring from the sky. Stack some chips up. No fear of missing out. I'd rather dip and flip. What? Now pump it up and double up is what we hit. What? 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 Satoshi's pouring from the sky.
Welcome to 21ism.com, the sound culture renaissance. We curate craft and amplify Bitcoin-inspired creativity, and we do this through art, design, word, code, music, video, and memes. This is all getting a little bit incestuous because featuring in the meme block this month is our very own self-banked, who you will know well from his many memes on Twitter. And mining this block for us is Rebel Money Art. They know each other well. This should be a good one. Enjoy.
Hello, Mr. Self-Banked.
Wonderful to be here. And so thank you for having me.
It's an absolute joy to have you. It really is. And this is a very unique interview, really, in some ways, because we're actually good friends. Outside of this crazy world we call Bitcoin, and inside the crazy world we call Bitcoin as well. So
definitely,
This is it's quite interesting for me as well, because you are the person that orange/red-pilled me. So it's a case of me interviewing my maker. So,
I am very proud of what you are becoming, young Padawan.
Thank you. That's great. If you could just, you know, start breathing heavy on the interview. Now we know exactly why it's Darth Banked. So, all right. Well, let's get going then. Cool. Let's start off at the start. Let's talk about your rabbit hole story. How did you get into Bitcoin?
Well, I think everyone is kind of primed to Bitcoin in some way. And I guess I had certain tendencies that just predisposed me into it, which was basically a resistance to authority. And maybe a mild sense of injustice at the way the world was going and the way that things had been. And so one of the things which perhaps was coincidental was that at the time of the 2008 kind of financial crash, just before that, I just bought my first apartment. I just bought my first home, and within 3 months of doing that, it lost 30-40% of its value. And so that was my biggest kind of financial commitment of my life, for which, you know, I'd gone to uni and done all the right things and worked for quite some time, to be able to get the funds and the security to be able to do that. And then it just evaporated in front of me. And I was like, what the fuck is going on here? So it was a crazy time. And it, you know, I was very fortunate in that it took that after some years. And so things came back up, but there was a good few years of me being, pretty much in the doldrums and thinking that, you know, I'd really fucked it up. And that was just because of the timing. It was something that was out of my control. And I tried to do things right, and I'd just been screwed. But as I say, I was lucky enough to get a second chance. But I was always in tune to being able to spot an opportunity on the rise. And I was also quite distracted, and I was listening to a lot of early podcast stuff, particularly the Joe Rogan show. And I heard about kind of DMT on there, and I had got into my head I was going to have my ayahuasca trip and vape some kind of DMT. So I bought some Bitcoin in like early 2014, and I ended up just learning about sort of Bitcoin, really, and about Tor, and about kind of privacy and the dark web, and about what the dreams were for this new currency. And I didn't buy any fucking DMT because I think perhaps the Bitcoin was my DMT. It just opened me up. And I was in. I was just kind of mainlining Andreas Antonopoulos videos. And, you know, I was learning and I was really enjoying it. But it was an early time and I didn't really get to be maximalist until a good colleague of mine started to show me, like, some Austrian economics and the Bitcoin standard and things, and started to put me on the right path, which was probably, it was probably 2018, really. I mean, I kind of sold the Bitcoin that I got earlier, almost all of it, in 2017 to start a restaurant, which was a fucking stupid idea. But it was a lot of fun, but it was a stupid idea. But I mean, I don't regret any of it because it gave me the opportunity to learn about a small business and, you know, to learn how to be an entrepreneur of some kind. But yeah, then in 2018, I started going down the rabbit hole in a maximalist sort of sense. And I just started consuming Bitcoin from Twitter. And then the start of 2019, or maybe when was it? It was about June or something. I just had all this crap in my brain that I needed to, you know, to get out. And I'd been doing sort of memes for the restaurant for the past couple of years to try and, you know, get this kind of business launched. So it was all about kind of propaganda and kind of promotion for this brand and for this business. So I was quite tuned into social media. So I just had in my mind that I'd start to make a meme a day about Bitcoin. And that's turned into a little bit more than that. It's just kind of snowballed, and it snowballed into meeting incredible people and having my brain blown on a regular basis. Probably, you know, if you listen to my wife, being a bit overconsumed by these things. but this is the way. But certainly the impact that Bitcoin is having on the world right now just looks to be so profound. And there's nothing I'd rather be in than in it and with these wonderful plebs.
Yes, it is. It's an incredible community. I absolutely, you know, the characters you meet, the people you meet, is just unreal. And it's not,
yeah,
there's such an enlightened people that you can learn so much from every day, day learning new things. Let's go back a little bit in your rabbit hole story there. So let's talk a little bit more about what you are most famous for in the Bitcoin community, other than obviously being a really nice guy and a legend. You're also known for your memes in particular. Mm-hmm. So why did you obviously gravitated towards memes because of your restaurant business? But you could have gone into other art forms as well. Why do you specifically choose memes? What's so special about them for you?
I think because I recognized the power of them. I mean, in this digital online world that we're exposed to all the time, you know, it is a bit of a race to get people's attention. And, you know, if you can go viral and have a wide reach and make a big impact, then that's in the best interest of what you're representing. So I'd recognize the power of memes through promotion of a small business. And I'd always thought, I mean, I'm a doctor, and so I'm an anesthetist, but I mean, there was a point in my life where I kind of could have gone down the art line, you know, I, after my GCSEs, which is age 16 in the UK. You have the option, you have to choose what your A levels are going to be, and it's quite select. So I felt it was a good idea to do something very responsible. So I ended up going down the medical route and doing all sort of sciences. But I mean, I really would have loved to have done art. So I guess it's just something that I put on the back burner because of a sense of being financially responsible and, I don't know, all sorts of reasons. So yeah, it'd been sort of burning inside of me to do something artistic and creative. And I've been told a few times that I've got a good eye. I think that must be my left eye. I'm not sure. But that's a dad joke, isn't it? That's a
it's a proper dad joke, and I laughed there. I was laughing with you there, definitely. So that was Yeah.
So I just like to put sort of text and images together. I always have. So the meme stuff was it was just the obvious thing, really. Plus, I was exposed to Michael Goldstein, and so by this kind of colleague of mine who'd sent me down the maximalist kind of rabbit hole, and I'd seen Michael Goldstein's very seminal sort of YouTube video from BitBlock kind of boom in 2018 or 2017 or something. And it was awesome. He just talked about the power of memes and how it was like a warfare and how we had to go out and preach and convert and use all the dirty tactics that we can. And so at the time, he was and he still is the best, but there wasn't a lot of other kind of visual sort of memers out there in sort of 2018. And so, yeah, I wanted to just push the more visual side of it. I wanted to make them very arresting, very colorful, you know, a bit more kind of stylish and educational. And that's how I started off. But then basically I've just been throwing shit at the wall and trying every tactic that I can. And I'll, you know, I want to get more into the video. I want to put more sort of music in. It's been a huge explosion in general, in terms of memes, particularly for Bitcoin in the past year, really. RDBTC only came up sort of last year. Mm-hmm. And he just blew it away, didn't he? And then there's this whole community around, and so not just around him, but the toxic kind of happy hour crew and the Stripe meme team, they've just taken it all to a whole new level. And these kids are just kind of smashing it. I'm just trying to find my niche, and I just keep throwing shit against the wall and keep trying new things. I just want to see what sticks. I like the adrenaline. I like the kind of dopamine. I like the reward mechanism. I like the satisfaction out of doing something that gets a reaction. But not just that, also the reaction on me when I'm kind of creating it. Mm-hmm. So particularly recently, I've started to get into slightly longer, well, longer as in a minute sort of videos or so. But that's quite a thrill to get into that stuff. And I just want to play with more tools and try and make it more professional and try and crystallize my ideas as well as I can just keep spreading the good word. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because we have a message, and the message is going to help everyone, I think.
It most certainly is. And I think there is a lot to be said about not, as you know, you put it as saying you throw in enough and hope it will stick. But I think that is largely forgotten about. You know, have you heard of survivorship bias?
No, I haven't.
So it's whenever a person succeeds, they always said, I succeeded because of this, and you know, this. So it's only them. It's basically the victor writes the history books, so to speak. So they,
right.
But what's often forgotten about during that process is the amount of hours, the amount of errors, the amount of mistakes, the amount of time spent crafting and learning. What's only really remembered or recorded is the actual meme or bit of work that broke them through, so to speak. So I think there's a lot to be said for just trying as many things as possible. Where do you get your inspiration for your memes? Where does that come from?
It's all sorts of things. I mean, obviously it's related to the content that I've consumed, and I listen to more podcasts than I do read articles and books. I wish I could read more books and articles, but I have a tendency to consume more audio. So, I mean, if there's a particular podcast that I'm listening to with someone who's just got great sound bites, then I'll just get my phone out and I'll just get those kind of written down onto a notepad app. And I've got into my Google Keep has just got pages and pages of sort of Bitcoin quotes. I mean, it's got all sorts of other shit as well, of course. But I mean, there's some good quotes there. And and then once you've got the phrase, I think then and so I think mine have been based more about an idea and a concept rather than a sort of story initially. So I just try and put an image up which encapsulates the scene and the sensibility of the phrase. And then I just like to play about with the colors and the font and the alignment and the logo and the transparency and the position. And I don't know. Yeah, I just like to mess about with it until it feels aesthetically right for me. Although I have other styles in which it's just more chaotic and more sort of slapstick and more comedy, but I think I'm probably sort of more known for the more slightly more pretentious ones, which can try to be educational.
That's fine. It catches people's attention, and ultimately, it, as you say, it sends cuts through the static in order to get the messages into people's brains, and that's what's really important, I think. If we're really going to succeed. I was just on the auction earlier of Crypto Graffiti, and there's always a sense when you're speaking with Bitcoiners. Oh, good. Oh, thank you for tuning
in. It was brilliant. And some great shows for 21ism as well.
Well, it's got to be done. Got to represent, haven't we? So whenever we possibly can. But it never fails with Bitcoiners. It's never a case of if it happens. It's just a case of when it happens and when is it going to take place. And I believe, you know, memers like yourself, day in, day out, you know.
Day in, day out.
Are just chilling these messages, are just pushing us forward towards this incredible future that we all need to be excited about. So you're not just, there's a lot of sides to self-banked, and I'm in a very privileged position that I know more sides than others, obviously knowing you. You also are quite active in promoting the Bitcoin community in terms of offline as well. So you've am I correct in saying that, in organizing meetups and going to meetups as well?
I mean, so like everyone, I had a certain reluctance about actually meeting people in Meetspace as a Bitcoiner. But I think there's much more to gain than there is to lose. And everyone's in the same boat. And I think if you're careful, then and there are certain rules. Like, one of the rules I've learned is that if anyone asks you, you know, you practice geographically distributed multi-sig, and then you're safe. Like, I mean, you're totally safe. It's cool. I mean, there's no point in them coming around with a $5 wrench. It's all good.
This is it. I had word with Brecky about this.
Yeah.
Just recently, and this, you, the only thing you need to stop a $5 wrench attack is a $20 wrench, you know? So that'll
true.
Put them good down. Point. So, you know, you good can choose point. One of those two options. So I'm going down to the local hardware store tomorrow to get mine before we start meeting up again. So
totally. Well, I was introduced to the South Wales kind of Bitcoin scene when I was living there, which is how I met sort of you in South Wales, of course. Mm-hmm. And that was a great scene. I mean, there's some really awesome people in South Wales in the Bitcoin community, from developers to just early adopters to, you know, great critical thinkers and really wonderful people who I'm very privileged to have met. And I was introduced to their Cardiff kind of meetups a couple of years ago, and I went to them and they were awesome. And I went to Berlin after that, to the Lightning Conference, and came back all full of pomp and hype, which I think is where I sort of shilled it to you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so since then, I've just always, yeah, I wanted to spread the message more locally. And so I set up a sort of kind of local Bitcoin meetup group halfway through last year as a result of the Bitcoin meetup here being non-functional because of COVID and because of lockdown. So there was a local scene, but it just, the organizers had let it slide. They had maintained that it was on, but the venue was closed. There was no communication. So I just thought, fuck this, I'll start something else. And it's been pretty small, but the people I've met have been fucking awesome. And it's really valuable to me to have a regular meetup with Bitcoiners and be able to kind of debrief on what's going on and shoot the shit and have a laugh and, you know, a bit of banter, and they're on your wavelength. Yeah, I mean, there's some wonderful people. And we've got little projects that are starting to jump from that as well. They're starting to germinate. And so kind of BA Warrior Art or kind of, and so BA kind of Warrior Pat and I are going to try and do some guerrilla kind of Bitcoin art stuff.
Ooh, exciting.
Some art installations inspired by crypto graffiti.
Interesting.
And yourself. And there's another Bitcoiner I've been speaking to about maybe even starting a little kind of small Bitcoin cafe thing. But, you know, it's obviously very early days. But, yeah, there's a lot that can come out of actually meeting people in real life and forming, you know, friendships in Meetspace. And, yeah, there's such a lot to gain. So I advise everyone to either get involved with your local Bitcoin meetup scene, or if there isn't one, to fucking start one. Because, I mean, it's not hard. You just use the social media channels that are available to you. I mean, I launched it on Twitter and through kind of Facebook. I've since just made the decision to start to go incognito on my Facebook and to kind of pull away from that entirely, because my Facebook was turning into my Bitcoin sort of Twitter, which was quite dangerous. And my wife was giving me a lot of grief. So I'm trying to separate the normie me from the maxi me, which is hard. Yeah.
It's really tough, isn't it? When it grabs hold of you, it changes you at your core. And to be honest with you, if you are the normie, you're almost living a lie to a point, isn't it? Where you every day you have to just bite your lip whenever you just want to talk about Bitcoin to people.
True. So. I mean, I've got such a lot to say, but I know they don't want to hear it.
But yeah, well, they're going to hear about it in the future, whether they like it or not. So the way I look at it. So
yeah, we should talk about how we met.
Yeah. Yeah, we should.
Getting you into it. So I discovered you through your art and so through your kind of street art. You were doing a local issue-based street art sort of themed concept brand thing. I don't know what to call it.
Yeah.
But it blew me away.
Oh, thanks, man. Appreciate that.
I thought you were like a South Wales Banksy.
Oh, I appreciate that. That's very kind of you. and then we got together as soon as you got me painting on your wall,
yeah,
I believe.
And so I got in touch with you, and that Bitcoin that I sold in 2017, I started some little restaurant with, and I wanted to create some hype. So I got you to do some of your work on it.
Yeah.
Whilst it was being sort of renovated. And we got in the Welsh kind of national press, didn't we? We got into Wales Online. We got some articles out of it. We got some kind of media mileage out of it.
We certainly did. And it was incredibly fun. And there was a lot of pomp around it. And
it was cool, man.
And for me personally, you know, that that was awesome. That, you know, people talk about touch points in Bitcoin, how you need three to kind of, so that when you started talking to me then about that, that was kind of my first touch point into Bitcoin. And that was kind of really exciting. And I'd done a little bit, I looked at, well, Bitcoin before, but never really taken it seriously. And as you said, you need to meet someone who's pushing it. And my word, self-banked, you really, really can push it. You are one of the most tenacious people I know, in a good way, you know, extremely stubborn, but gets a message across. And, for that, I will be forever grateful. The second touch point that I guess we had was at a protest. There was a period of time in between it where you met up in person, and it was the point, I think, that really got me switched on to Bitcoin. And I remember it clearly. I can't describe it too much because that will dox both of us, but it was a protest event, and it was really cool. I remember coming away with my mind blown and thinking, wow, you know, there is another way to protest, and actually there is a way to more effectively protest.
Yeah, well, it was a wonderful scene. It was very poignant. It was very sort of vivid. There were drums, and so there was kind of fire. It was dark. There were thousands of people walking down hills and through woodland, and then into town. And it was quite a heady sort of time. And I was pumped as fuck on Bitcoin and the Lightning Network after coming back from Berlin from the Lightning Conference. And I just, it clicked for me that with Lightning actually working and the smartest people in the room working on Lightning and enabling it, that Bitcoin had everything to succeed. That it had not just the store of value, but the payments layer. I wanted to recruit you because your work, that street art stuff that you were doing, the fact that, and so what you were doing a year or two before was kind of incognito. You were doing it in an anonymous kind of way, which is exactly what I felt sort of Bitcoin needed as well. You know, it needs, I mean, and to me coming into it as a NIM, it sort of resonated with me that a lot of the work that you'd done previously, it wasn't around Bitcoin, but it was perfectly suited to the propaganda kind of mission of Bitcoin and of trying to spread that. So I thought you were a key target, a key strategic
low-hanging fruit, wasn't I? I was just this apple or pear that was just within reach, and then you reached out and grabbed it. And for that, I am forever grateful. Crypto Graffiti said something to you recently on an interview, which he said artists are Bitcoiners because they believe in what is, they just don't know it yet. So there you go. You can use that on one of your memes if you'd like. If you want to get your Google out now and then.
That is good. That is good.
So yeah. So we've gone through now your journey. So you started off there as this anti-authoritarian stance, and you've grown then to get your fingers burned by the state monetary system. Then finding Bitcoin and then memeing. What do you do next after that? Where does the self-bank story go from there?
Well, from there, I mean, there's a common friend that we have who is a graphic artist. I met him through you, and I saw the work that he was doing. And it blew me away. And I was trying to work out in my mind where this was all going, and trying to develop, a more macro kind of perspective on the future of the world and our community in relation to Bitcoin. and to hyper-Bitcoinization. And, you know, I was tuned in to Plan B's predictions about price and about, you know, this big conversation that was going on about the implications on geopolitics and on society and, yeah, just kind of where this is all going to go. And so I wanted to just try and encapsulate this in a more longer form, kind of narrative. So I had this idea to recruit our mutual friend into creating a short graphic story, which looks at the past, you know, looks at around kind of 10 years in the past and then going sort of 10 years into the future, with the perspective of what Bitcoin has done to change our world. And so I wrote the words and the ideas and the concept for 21ism, which is a sort of graphic story that and I released in June or July of last year, which has been really wonderful to be a part of, and great to get the responses that we've both had. We've been on some podcasts to kind of, together. We kind of collaborated on it for months and months beforehand. I'm not the most organized sort of person, so it was a bit haphazard, but, and so the launch date got set and back and back and back. But, that's partly because we wanted it to be as good as we could make it. And I think we achieved it. You know, I think we achieved something pretty cool with it. Essentially, it looks at the life of a young man between 2012 to 2032, and it jumps at kind of 4-year sort of stages of his life, which has a parallel to Plan B's kind of halving events.
Yes,
well, not to Plan B's halving events, but you know, but to halving events. And to the predictions on price, you know, kind of through Plan B. It was easy to look sort of backwards and to the present, but it was quite challenging to look into the future, obviously. So there was a lot of thought that went into that. And there was a lot of kind of back and forth between kind of Josh and I. But the end result, as I say, is something I'm very proud of. And I printed kind of 200 copies, which I've sold pretty much all of those, and I released it as a free PDF, encouraging people to download and print as much as they want and as much as they can, you know, and they can sell them, they can give them away for free. I just want the idea and the message to get out there. So in the spirit of open source, it's about kind of decentralizing the content and the message as much as we can. And we've had groups from kind of Germany who have said that they printed kind of 200 copies and they've been giving them away at some of their events and their conferences and things. So that was just incredible to hear. I did think about how many sats I could have had from that, but fuck it.
Yeah. Well, the amount of Bitcoiners that have come into the space, you know, can maybe look at it in terms of, you know, that's pushed the price up, you know, so making your sats more valuable. And also, more importantly, you've obviously got new Bitcoiners into the space and is the community, which is incredibly important, you know, for the future, full stop, you know.
It is. I mean, so it's all about getting the new people in. So with our projects and so with 21ism right now, the number, you know, just in the last block, we've had two people of kind of 20 or 19 and kind of 20 years old. Yeah. And to Ben Kaufman and kind of Nick Hoffman. Mm-hmm. Like, fucking hell, these guys, man.
Well, this is it.
They're going to take it to a whole new level.
I think this is it. And, you know, going back to the comic there, the message that you have in that is especially with, you know, Marvel on our screens all the time and comic book culture being so prevalent now, it's having that Bitcoin message in an easy to digest format that you can understand. You can understand this comic. Obviously, I've read it a few times. I really enjoy it. And you can understand the message without even understanding English, because there's those images that have been so well drawn by JC Sketches there. You know, it is propagating now out into the mainstream culture. But you alluded to
I must say one thing, actually, which is I must kind of thank you for that conversation we had on a park bench in which I kind of showed you the pages that I had at some point, and you quite rightly said you need to do something else kind of with this. You need some intermediary connecting kind of narrative. So it was on your idea that I embedded these extra pages, which encapsulated what had happened in the 4-year gaps in between the slices of this guy's life. That was key, I think, in sort of weaving it all together. So, I must thank you for your contribution to that.
Well, thank you for letting me be part of it. And there was an absolute minute part in such a fantastic project. So I thoroughly appreciate being having a small role in it. So thank you for getting me involved. You alluded to the 21ism. So 21ism wasn't done there. It wasn't done at the comic stage. There was something perhaps bigger that was percolating from that.
Yeah.
And that, as you alluded to there, is 21ism.com. So what happened there between the comic and 21ism.com, which, you know, if you haven't been on the site, you know, we both contributed to the sound culture renaissance. So, what happened? How did that work out?
I guess it goes back to I listened to kind of Princey's podcast, to the once. And so to the Once Bitten kind of podcast with kind of Hodler Than Thou in, I think that was maybe kind of February 2020, I think.
Yeah, I think it was, because I remember you sending it. I remember you sending it on to me saying, you got to listen to this guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, I really shilled that one about, because it had a big emotional impact on me to hear Badders and his kind of story. It just resonated because of his, you know, and so he's from Scandinavian, but, you know, he'd spent a lot of time in the UK, and the way he was explaining things resonated with me a lot. And we were at a similar stage in our lives with a young family. And I was very impressed by that and by him. So I reached out to him and we started to exchange some messages. And then it was obvious that he was very creative, and he was starting to pump out video memes, and to short kind of videos. They were adaptations of kind of music videos or kind of film trailers with a Bitcoin reinterpretation, and they're phenomenal. And his musical talent was just off the scale. And he was getting me to just do intro kind of title sort of scenes and outro kind of title shots. So I was just sort of helping to put some of the little details onto the work that he was doing. So we did a few of those. I think those works he did last year need to kind of go back out there, because they were a bit ahead of their time and they didn't get the audience that they deserve. So they really should, they need to see a wider audience, and I'm sure they will in time. They're awesome. So we started to collaborate on some stuff, and then it just grew into, I think he initially had the idea to start an agency, a creative agency for Bitcoiners, which was just a group of people who could help to facilitate the promotion of artists and Bitcoiners. He felt that there was a future in that. And, you know, it connected with me immediately, and I wanted to be a part of it. And so we took this 21ism kind of brand that I'd started to develop with the comic, And I just kind of put it into this new project. And then we started to recruit other people in. And so Mr. Crown sort of reached out to us after a fairly rudimentary kind of website that I was putting together. He said, I think if you need to be taken more seriously, you should have a better website. And I looked at what he'd done and I thought, oh shit, I think you can probably help. And so he was amazing. And then I was recently, not long before that, on a podcast, and so with Max on the Bit by Bit pod. Mm-hmm. And so we got him involved. And yeah, phenomenal pod. And so kind of Princey through association with Hodler Than Thou got involved as well.
AKA Badders. Yeah.
To grow. And then we've been getting more and more people in. And so MTC, BTC and yourself just got involved with this project just at the start of the year. Mm-hmm. And I think now we're about to re-expand again and truly become a Bitcoin art collective.
Yeah, it's just branching out, isn't it? And it's
branching out.
I think it's wonderful for me working in 21ism. It feels to me it's wonderful working in such a great team of people that producing high quality content all the time. The bar is very high, and the culture in 21ism is we produce good stuff all the time. We don't let anything go below the bar there. I think that's really important. So no pressure, new people. You got
no pressure. But I mean, at the same time, I mean, you know, this is a very nascent industry and project. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's a bit of experimentation that we're doing here, and that there's a lot of kind of freedom to express, I think. So I think we're all pretty open-minded, and I think we just have faith that kind of Bitcoiners are right on. And you know, we don't have to be one certain way or one certain thing. And so I think I'm very bullish on Bitcoiners of all kinds, and I try to remain very open-minded. I mean, this is, if this shit's going to take over the world, we can't all be the same fucking thing. You know, we've got to be very diverse. We've got to have different perspectives. We're going to have different thoughts, religions, colors, races, ideals, perspectives, sexualities. We've got to have everything. Everything's going to be different. This is, money transcends everything else in terms of a sound money transcends everything else. You know, it's 50% of every transaction that occurs. And so sound money is kind of fundamental to a civilization leaving a legacy. If you look back in history, all ancient cultures that were any salt or any worth that have left any kind of legacy were based upon sound money. And you know, the Greeks, the Mayans, the Egyptians, and every other one. And so they worshipped, they mythologized gold. And I think that allowed them to create very lasting kind of monuments and infrastructures and kind of cultures. And I think I'm not alone in believing that we've lost our way a little bit now, globally, as a kind of global society right now. I you know, through the loss of our correlation, our money's correlation with gold between 1914 to 1971, things have got a bit topsy-turvy and out of hand, and I think we need a big rebalancing, and I think a return to sound money is key to realigning a progressive forward path of humanity.
Yeah, I completely agree with you, and I'm sure a lot of people that are listening to this podcast as well will have similar thoughts of exactly what's going on in the world right now. And it's an incredibly exciting time to be alive despite you know what's going on at the moment outside. You know, I'm stuck here in South Wales. Not necessarily a terrible thing, you know. I like South Wales. It's a nice place to live, you know. So could improve the weather a little bit, but you know, it is a feeling of being trapped, and I do hope, you know, we can get out and about as soon as possible as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny thing, isn't it? I mean, in a certain sense, it's been constructive and productive, and it hasn't not been enjoyable. And so having a young family, having a young little boy running around, it's been kind of cool, and I haven't missed out on too much by lockdown, you know, because I would have spent most of my time with my family anyway. But yeah, what's going on is wrong, you know. I mean, just this afternoon, just come today, the protests throughout sort of Europe, and I'm sure the world, but I'm just know about the European ones in Copenhagen, Amsterdam, London, Manchester. You know, there are thousands of people out on the street right now who are protesting against lockdown. Mm. And quite rightly so. I do feel this is an obscene injustice and an abuse of people's kind of civil rights. And I do feel that it is a bit of a sham. Mm. And, you know, I long for the return of kind of freedom.
I do as well. I long for the return of Bitcoin meetups. That'd be great.
Yes.
You know, and well, just human interaction. And
But you can still do Bitcoin meetup, as I say. And so our Bitcoin meetup, which is in Bristol, it's doxing kind of marginally, but we've been going on throughout lockdown. And that is something which I'm very proud of. And, you know, lockdown isn't really enforced. Like, people can still go out and do stuff. So people are far too fucking obedient in this country. And I think you're as free as you want to be. Mm. Even with all this going on, you know, you can still meet. You can still, yeah, I mean, and some people can still, and so can still can travel internationally. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, that's a whole other thing, isn't it?
That is.
Let's not get too negative.
Let's switch now to some questions that I've been out on Twitter, and I've asked some people, what would you like to ask Southbound? So we've got first question here is from RDBTC.
Cool.
So you obviously know this chap here.
Legend.
You know he is, and he wants to know, what is your favorite meme?
He is a cheeky bugger, because he knows what my favorite meme is, and it's one of his.
Right. And just for everyone listening, can you explain what the meme is?
It was the meme that launched 21ism. It was the video meme that launched us. And it was his meme about something being wrong with money. It was that meme. It was little video. It was the video with Morpheus's quote about something being wrong with money that he put together. And it just gives me goosebumps every time I see it, even now, even though I've seen it thousands and thousands of times. And I think I've posted it and tweeted it thousands of times. I've dropped it into so many, you know, tweet threads and things. I have a habit, I think maybe I've lost a few more followers on Twitter because of this, but I've started using it just to try and inseminate Bitcoin ideas into trending kind of threads and things. So if I find a big story that's getting a lot of hits, I'll drop that RDBTC video into it and some of the other like very powerful sort of meme warfare tools that we've created and just try and, because it's not about just kind of echo chambering around ourselves, like a big sort of circle jerk. You know, we need to push this kind of message out there. And so that one that he did, I think, is excellent. And it has a universal appeal and kind of connection and great touch point for people. So yeah, that's my favorite meme. It's one of his.
There we go. So he's even infiltrating this interview, you know, and our minds and all the people that are listening now. So the traits of an incredible meme are there. Acid Lord has got a question as well. And cool. When next comic, what will it be about? Obviously Bitcoin.
Mm.
Is there going to be another comic?
I'm going to move on, actually. It's going to be about XRP. This one.
Is it? Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get some real money rather than, you know.
Real money. Yeah. No, I mean, it's going to be hard to create the sequel to that one. I mean, and so that our first graphic story with JC Sketches and myself was from 2012 to 2032. So I don't know quite where we can be expected to go from that. I mean, we can't be expected to go from 2032 onwards. I guess we have to fill in the gaps, right? Maybe that's what we do.
I've got an idea around it.
Have you?
Yeah, okay. I have. Yeah.
Okay.
I think if we do something not from our point of view in terms of the Western world, but we look at maybe someone growing up in Venezuela or other countries that our, you know, Bitcoin is arguably, well, it is more useful to, you know, to their society as in terms of functioning, that could be quite interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if we pick a country whose money is properly fucked, you know, like visibly on a daily, monthly basis fucked.
Yeah.
As opposed to ours, which just degrades over years.
Time. It might highlight.
Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot of stories to tell. So a little bit more, you know, through that lens, it might actually, you know, just a suggestion.
I guess in a sense that the first graphic story, like everyone's first artistic story, is kind of semi-autobiographical. And that's often why maybe people's first things are perhaps kind of some of their best, is because, you know, they've been sort of ruminating on their own perspective for some time. But yeah, I really wouldn't know where to go as a next thing. But I mean, it's great to hear that people think we could do something else. So I'll start thinking about it, and I'll speak to JC Sketches as well, because I am nothing without him in this. I mean, his work on that was just off the scale phenomenal. I mean, it was just breathtakingly cool. He's a wonder. He's like one of the most kind, generous, patient individuals I've ever met. Real pleasure to work with and collaborate with. And I'd love to do that again.
Yeah.
So I've got to shill it to him.
Good luck, mate. good luck.
He's quite a busy guy, isn't he? He's got a few projects on.
He is extremely busy. So, and well sought after as well, which is great. But I think, you know, it's nothing without the vision of what you thought about and seeing how that applies then to the Bitcoin space. So I think it leads me to my last question today, really, which is, you talked earlier about, you know, the Mayan legacies of, you know, that they've left behind with when they had sound money. What would be, and you've got a young family, obviously, yourself now, what would be your legacy you would like to leave behind, not, you know, in terms of Bitcoin, and then if anything else as well?
That's a really good question. And I think about this every time I see my son. And the answer is fairly obvious every time. And so every time that I see my son, you know, I think my family is the most important thing. And to raise a child to be someone that you admire, you know, that's my first priority, really. And I'm sure my wife and I, you know, we're hoping to have another child over the next couple of years. It's been a little bit, you know, you're wondering what you're bringing things into, but fuck it, we just got to do it, right? So he's going to be my legacy. So it's all about trying to shape and to mold him into a cool Bitcoiner, obviously. But someone who's confident and creative and has some get up and go. But I mean, I do think that what we're doing in Bitcoin at the moment is legacy. And I like to think, I hope I'm not like deluded that, you know, this is a massive turning point in history. I think, you know, the fuckery of the fiat system needs to come crumbling down pretty soon. And it everything, the writing's on the wall. I mean, and so central bankers and governments and politicians, they're a very sorry bunch of impotent, nepotistic, just disgraceful excuses. And that they shouldn't be guiding really where this is going right now. And I think we do need to return to sound principles of money. And there's a quote by kind of Frito, kind of 2X, who was recently interviewed on a cool podcast by kind of Coin Icarus just last week. And he said that, and so to be mad about anything before being mad about, and so before being mad enough to fix the money is futility. So I just think that all causes, all things to get behind right now, they need to come kind of secondary to us getting the money sorted out. And that's why that's my main driver and my motivation is to help to facilitate that process of waking people up to the truth of a sound monetary system, which in a globalized digital online world is inevitably a globalized digital currency that is decentralized, that's Bitcoin. So yeah, I just want to push that really.
And, you know, I'd be forever grateful for you for pushing that, for introducing me to Bitcoin, and, you know, and also, you know, starting 21ism, etc. And already the kind of the fruits of your thoughts and I suppose your legacy is beginning to you know take root a little bit as such. So just want to say thank you for that, for personally for introducing me to Bitcoin. Just before we leave, can you just shill where people can find out more about you?
My main work at the moment is on 21ism.com. I'm writing a couple of articles on there and doing some podcasts every block. That's just a wonderful project to be part of. And I just think that's going to really go places. So watch that space. And to my own work and creativity, which is basically just musings and sort of distractions, is at SelfBanked on Twitter or kind of Instagram. That's me.
Well, thank you very much for your time today. Thoroughly appreciate it. It's always great talking to you and I learn new thing every single time. Thank you, SelfBanked.
Thank you.